January 28th, 2024. Real sight. And as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it done to you." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, "See that no one knows about it." But they went away and spread his fame through all that district. Matthew 9:27-31. So here are a few thoughts for your day, and I hope they help. They're not exhaustive, and they're brief. Number one, two blind men. So we see the most unlikely, again, come to Christ with the most faith. It's not the religious, the ones who don't think they have sin, but the men who can't even see. They see their need, though. They see in a way that the other men can't and haven't. And we see the mercy and compassion, again, of Jesus. He touches their eyes and they see. He raises the little girl by touching her hand and lifting her up. We see Jesus always prepared. We see a lady touch his garment and she's healed. We see him ready for every man's situation in life. He's always prepared and always has the answer. And this account is amazing and deserves to be read and reread 100 times. We must see that the circumstance of any man and the life he has been dealt is no obstacle for the Son of God. Not you, not me, not anyone. Whether sick, blind, young, old, dying, or sinful, Jesus is the one. He can help. He has eternal life. That is the answer. And now we see these two blind men. So that's point number one. Two blind men. Point number two. Son of David. Now this name is them saying, in a way, "We know who you are. You're the Messiah, our deliverer, the King of David, from David." And this is pointing to what God says in 2 Samuel 7, if you want to go read that, when he says, "He will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your David's body, and I will establish his kingdom." The thing that is amazing is that these men are blind. They only go off of what they have heard in the crowds or told outright. Yet we see plainly, or they see plainly, who this is. This is staggering. They must have heard the word of God in the synagogues week after week and kept the news in their hearts of what to listen for, what to expect when the king should arrive. And then, when he comes, they see it more clearly than those who have eyes that see. This is staggering. And they call him by his name in the Old Testament, Son of David. We must learn the lesson to cling to the word of God, to be prepared for great things that are about to happen. These men, though blind and in the dark, were not in the dark about truth. And that's an important lesson. Which points to the next thing, the next lesson. Seeing is not believing. You see, we have all heard that saying, seeing is believing. Well, turns out, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Read Romans 10:17. Many think that what they see is most real, that it's reality. If we can see it, then we know it's legit. Or if you can see it, you can trust it. But we must warn against this. This is a dangerous way to live because it ignores the fact that our eyes are easily fooled. And it ignores Scripture and the God of Scripture. In fact, it pushes God out altogether because you can't see God. So if all that you go off of is what you can see and touch and hear, well, you don't see the full picture. Because no one has seen God. And this doesn't mean he's not real or trustworthy. He is life itself. Not seeing him bears no weight on the reality of this. He is who he is, whether you believe it or not. And this passage shows us something very important that we need to consider very closely. Because we have all seen the hundreds upon hundreds of optical illusions out there. There are ones that make our eyes do weird things, and ones that make us stare at a dot and then at a wall and then you see a picture. Ones that make it look like something and something else. And if you want to see one, you can head over to my blog. I'll add the link in the description. But these optical illusions make the point clear, or at least add light to this reality. You see, many things aren't as they seem. We are easily fooled. All these men and women watched Jesus heal people and do wonderful things, and yet didn't believe when he said he's the Son of God. Their seeing didn't convince them. And this is the big lesson to learn. And many today put great emphasis on witnessing healings and miracles and people and speaking in tongues and seeing men in churches claiming that they are living like the apostles did and thinking that this is the path to legit faith. They give lots of money to these men on TV. But seeing these things isn't what makes you believe. Even trying to do these things isn't what makes you believe. Reading the Word of God is what makes you see and believe. If you don't believe the Word of God, something so simple as the book, and the way God chose to reveal himself, like these two men, it's guaranteed you won't believe even if you see. Our eyes don't make our heart well. Our heart makes our eyes well. Belief in God's word transforms the heart, which opens the eyes. The miracles were to solidify the word of God. God said what the Messiah would do in the Old Testament, and meant for it to be believed, meant for it to be trusted. So when Jesus came, the miracles should have encouraged joy from the belief already formed by the Word of God. But they didn't believe the Word of God. The blind men did, but they didn't believe the Word of God, the other men. Therefore, they took the miracles with lustful intent. They saw it as an advantage and were blind to the reality right in front of them. The Word of God is where we need to spend our time and attention. And here's an example of this only seeing thing here in Scripture. It's like the story of the rich man and Lazarus. It's found in Luke 16 if you want to read it. But there was a rich man who dies and is in Hades. He begs God to let Lazarus go and warns his family so that they don't end up where he is. There's a big chasm between him and God. And we hear God say, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And the rich man replies, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. And then we hear the answer, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. If they see that, that's not what's going to convince them. Do you see the point? These two blind men heard the word of God and believed, and so received sight. Most seeing happens at conversion, or happens when you see Christ clearly. When the soul sees God as he has revealed himself in his word and believes, that sight, these two men had received sight long before their eyes were ever opened, physically. We must learn this lesson again. I urge you to look closely, to read and reread Scripture. We need to stop looking at all these outward miracles or great men who heal today. They're lying to us and making themselves the focus rather than the Word of God. A man who pushes you towards the Word of God is a man you want to listen to, because the Word of God is most important. A man who pushes you towards his self and what he's doing on the streets or what he can do, supposedly do, or how he talks, you must stay away from that man. And they're all over the television if you need an example. There are many religious leaders in that day who were more blind than these two men. These men heard and believed. And this is a lesson for our day, for today. I challenge you to see it. So lastly, point number three, an important question to consider for your Sunday. Because he asked the blind man, "Do you believe that I can do this?" And that's an important matter for them and for us, for me and for you. Do you believe that I can do this? That's the question. Do you read the Word of God, or are you ignoring it? Am I ignoring it? Do I cherish it? Do I believe that what's in there is reality? Do you believe that if you ask, help me understand, that he will? Do you believe that if you ask, forgive me, that he will? Do you believe that if you ask, save my neighbor, that he will? Do you believe that if you ask, let me know you, that he will? We have a willing Savior, a willing bridegroom, and we have a merciful bridegroom. We have read and seen this over and over and over each day, and I hope that our eyes see the beauty and the greatness of this reality. I hope that you cling to Christ more today than even yesterday. And I pray that our vision is wide open and that Christ is our treasure. We get so distracted. We're easily distracted, and we think we know things and we think we see things rightly. But do you see? Not with your eyes, but like these two men. Have you searched the Word of God and found sight that will one day give you eternal life? Think on it. And with this, have a happy Sunday.